Blog Talk Radio.
So much. I can just only say thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for all things great and perfect come from you. And, you know, God blesses us with just little things. And, you know, I was so blessed yesterday to be able to spend time with my grandkids and just have fun with them. You know, reading to my grandson and taking my granddaughters and my granddaughter to church and just hanging out with them. I always laugh because she's trying to get my cell phone password because my phone goes dead because I have a tendency to open too many things. And so she would go in and clean it out. But I just didn't give her the password. And she's like hinted at it yesterday. She said, well, somebody's phone would be going dead if they gave their granddaughter their password. And I just thought it was funny. So our kids are always finding ways to get that password. But our password today is Jesus. Hallelujah. Our password today is Holy Omnipotent Father God. We just want to thank him this morning for waking us up. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are so very thankful, so very grateful that you woke us up this morning, that you started us on our way, that you gave us a pep and a step and a praise in our heart. And Father God, we just ask you to continue guiding us through your word, Lord God, that it permeates our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. And that, Lord, you bring what we need to remembrance in our spiritual arsenal when we must fight against the enemy. Lord God, give us the words to speak and the scripture to know in context, Father God. Help us to be discerning in spirit, in mind, and in all things we do. Give us discernment, Father God. Let us see past the surface that we may not be fooled by the enemy. And in this name, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, we pray, Lord God, asking you to continue watching over us, continue protecting us from the wiles of the evil one. Lord God, put hedges of protection around our babies, Lord God, around our children. Keep them protected in all things, Father God. Watch over our children. For we know that they are the future. Deliver us from, Lord, from all darkness. Bring us into the light. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. And I thank you for this word today. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. And the title of our lesson today comes from Psalms 19 and 14, which is, you are my strength and my redeemer. And we know that God is our strength and our redeemer. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 19 and 14. So when you hear us, when you hear me pray that, it's not just words. It's a lament asking God to increase as I decrease. Letting God know that I would like these words that I speak to be acceptable to him. I don't want to be just speaking. I want it to mean something to God, to be a sweet aroma to his nostril, that I come from my heart, teaching his word, not my word, but his word. For God's word is true. And we must read it, study it, meditate on it, chew on it, taste and see that the word of the Lord is good. We got to get it in our heart and in our spirit. Whew, hallelujah. And know that our Savior was there at the beginning. He's there right now. And he will be there in the future, sitting on the right hand of the Father God. And I love the word from yesterday when the Pharisees called themselves trying to get Jesus. And what did he say? And they said him that Jesus was the son of David. And then he said to them, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord and saying, the Lord said to my Lord, come on now, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Him, Lord, how is he his son? Come on now. And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Sometimes you're going to push the Lord too far, and he's going to tell you something that you might not be ready to hear. But Jesus just had to let him know that he was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. He just let him know, I was sitting right on the right hand of the Father, even during the time of David. Come on now. And so as we get into this word, we understand that Jesus was with God in the time of the Exodus, that he was with God in the beginning of creation, and he is with God right now, interceding for you and I through the Holy Spirit. We are sons and daughters of God because we've been adopted in. I thank God for the mighty adoption. Hallelujah. So let's get started in the word this morning. And it says this. Now there, these are the judgments you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant. Now understand, we're talking probably some form of slavery, but it's not what people in the colonies and the Americas went through. It is different. And we're going to find out about the difference. God is speaking to us today. Morning. You know, Exodus is one of those chapters where it gives you everything. It's the beginning of freedom. And God has given some edits. He's given some instructions. You know, he is getting them ready. And sometimes folks ain't ready to be ready, if that makes any sense. You know, some of these folks weren't ready. And then let's call it straight. Some of them were the strangers at the gate who decided to tag along because they looked like, oh, wherever they going, I'm going with them, because they had just watched how awesome God is. They just watched and saw how wonderful God was, and they wanted to be a part of it. They said, oh, let me go with this. Let me hang out with them. And so this is what it says. And that's why he had to be specific and say Hebrew. And what he's saying, God is always specific. And it says, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an anvil, and he shall serve him forever. Wow. It's some rough stuff. And I'm going to go back over that because this is some of the things that actually happened during slavery in the colonies in America. And it says this, if he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. That's harsh. You fall in love, you have children. I'm sorry, you free, but your wife and your little mind. And then if you go back to be with your family, you are in for life, enslaved for life. This is where it goes. And if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign person, to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the customs of daughters. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three things for her, then she shall go out free without paying money. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. We're talking sanctuaries. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. And if he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death, because the Lord told you what, honor your father and your mother. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Again, honor your father and your mother. It's important. If men contend with each other, and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die, but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time, and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man beats his male or female servant with a rod so that he dies, under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any man harms then, who you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of the male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. If an ox gores a man or a woman, ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. But if an ox tended to thrust with his horn in times past, and it had not been known by its owner, and he has not kept it confined so that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall also be put to death. This is serious business. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life. Whatever is imposed on him, whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. If one man's ox hurts another's so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it is known that the ox tended to trust in times past, and its owner had not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. And for those that are just joining us, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And the life lessons are from Dr. Stanley. And the life lesson for Exodus chapter 21, verse 33. If a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, even in a world ruled by a sovereign God, accidents happen. We live on a fallen planet, and although God has the power to prevent every accident, he does not. Instead, he asks us to trust him. What 21 and 36. If it was known that the ox tended to thrust in times past, and its owner had not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox. God expects his people. God expects his people. Again, let me go back. God expects his people to act in a responsible manner and to use sound judgment in the way they conduct their affairs. And he holds us accountable for our inaction as well as our action. God holds us accountable for all things that we do. So, you know, if you let your animal go free, let's just say we're going to just call a dog. If you got a dog and you let your dog go free, and your dog is a biter, and it bites someone, you're responsible. But understand, keep your dog confined. But also, your dog might have got free because the person they went after was somebody that had been picking on them and messing with them. But you still got to keep your dog confined if your dog is a biter. You know, we are held responsible for our actions. chapter 22 of the book of Exodus. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the thief is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it's an ox or a donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animals and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns so that stacked grain, standing grain, or the field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods. But any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, or a sheep, or clothing, or for any kind of lost thing, which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. We got to forgive trespasses, but the Lord is telling us in the Old Testament, so we got to thank God for Jesus, hallelujah, that we are not going through this stuff that was back then. Come on. Woo, it was rough. But understand, it had to be, because this was a community that was moving, that was traveling. You cannot have confusion in a mass exodus like this. You have to have tight rules. You have to have tight regulations, because you're in a nomadic situation. And if you let Susie get away with some, Sam get away with something, then Bob and Carol are going to want to get away with it too. And then you got chaos in the midst. So God had to be harsh in these laws and things that he was saying at that time, because they were nomadic and they were numerous. So let's keep it moving, because this is all important. And it goes on to tell us, if a man delivers his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep, and it dies, its herd are driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both, that he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. But if in fact it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. If it is torn to pieces by a beast, then he shall bring it as evidence, and he shall not make good what was torn. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it, he shall surely make it good. If its owner was with it, he shall not make it good. It was hired. It came for its sire. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Even back then, the Lord didn't play when it came to sorcery, when it came to witchcraft, when it came to things that were not of God. God did not play. And he said, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. I mean, even back then, bestiality, come on. You know, you always read it in the paper. And Florida man, it's always a Florida man for some reason, is caught doing this, that, or the other. You know, I worked in the sheriff's office. And you don't want to hear those stories about folks getting caught doing stuff with their animals by deputies. It's just nasty. And back in them days, they put your behind to death, which is, ugh. I'm sorry, I'm being judgmental, but that's some nasty stuff. Having sex with an animal is nasty. And if God don't put you to death, maybe the animal will kick you in the nose and put you to death. That's just nasty. Chapter 20, he who sacrifices to any god, little g, except to the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That's the word for today. Got to be careful how you treat people. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry it at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like the money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. You shall not revile God or curse a ruler of your people. That's another word. Got to be careful talking about folks in leadership. Whew. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me. And you shall be a holy man to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts. In the field, you shall throw it to the dogs. Exodus chapter 22, verse 28, life lesson. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. Followers of Christ are to honor their leaders, regardless of whether or not they agree with the politics. Can you hear that? God places leaders in their roles. Dan chapter 4, verse 17, and calls us to pray for them, not revile them. And that is for all folks, you know, right now out there, you know, talking about the new president and all this and that and praying against him. Be careful what you pray. You could be bringing a curse on yourself. We all understand elections come and elections go. And every 4 years, somebody loses. We just got to keep moving forward. You pray for the past president, the former president, and you pray for the new president. And you keep moving forward. You can't look back. And you can't believe lies. You got to tell the truth and listen to the truth. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and the thing is that we better understand that when God does something, it's divine. Get the numbers. Our former president, yes, he got over 70-something million people. And we know seven, in biblical terms, is complete. He completed his assignment. And the current president got 83-plus million people that voted for him. And eight, we know, is a new beginning. And that's why we just accept God is done. You know, and there are those that say, well, God didn't have anything to do with it. Yes, he did. Or he wouldn't be president. We got to let things go and quit falling for the deceiving, deception, deceivers. God is God. And nobody can tell us what God is going to do but God. We got to move forward in our nation. move forward in our walk and love each other. Don't let politics divide your family. Don't let politics divide your church. Don't let politics divide anything. We are all children of God. And let's call it straight. Regardless of whatever it is, our Father God is in charge. Don't let yourself fall for craziness and the okey-doke and conspiracies and all of this stuff. You pray, you trust God, and you move forward. Because obviously, God's will was done. And we allow God's will to be done. Get out of self and say, God, I give myself to you. Guide me, lead me, and let it go. We got to let God be God. But understand, when you do wrong, come back on you. When you cause confusion, it will come back on you. Even in the Old Testament, God didn't allow chaos. Nip it in the bud, quick and in a hurry. And we can't allow chaos. We got to nip it in the bud, quick and in a hurry, and keep it moving. Exodus chapter 23 through chapter 24, verses 1 through 18. So let's keep it moving in our word today. And this is a word, again, for today. You shall not circulate a false report. You shall not circulate a false report. In other words, you cannot have alternative facts. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Oh, my goodness. Can the word come any clearer? Nor shall you testify in a dispute as to turn aside another after many to pervert justice. And I'm going to read that again because I'm going to tell you now, it's early in the morning and I am praying for God to increase as I decrease because me is still sleepy. I'm just being honest, but I'm going to do my job that God has called me to do. Understand, oh, moving forward, we just keep it real and we laugh and we have a good time, but we study the word of God. And I'm going to read verse 1 again, and this is what it says. You shall not circulate a false, put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false manner. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for will not justify the wicked. Can I say it again? Keep yourself from a false manner. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Can't be putting folks in cages. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they have, the beast of the field may eat, and what they leave, the beast of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard. In other words, you got to help folks. You got to help the poor. You got to help the needy. You got to feed the strangers. You got to feed folks. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, or let it be heard from your mouth. In other words, you can't be worshiping, you know, things that are not of God. You can't put folks on pedestals. You can't put stuff on pedestals. You can't worship your car. You can't worship your house. You can't worship, come on now, call it straight, anything that is not of God. Well, you know, I'm a Pisces, and I know that I just kind of follow my horoscope. We can't do that. You cannot do these things. We have to be different. We got to be set apart. It goes on to tell us three times, you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib, which I believe is April, or end of March, beginning of April. But in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Behold, what a word. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversary. For my angel will not go before you and bring you in to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Havites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall throw them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send harness before you, which shall drive out the Havites, the Canaanites and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea Philistia, and from the desert to the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Chapter 24 of the book of Exodus. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, and you and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. They made a pledge. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered the burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. Then Moses went up after Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. Did he say that you will write? Nope. It says that I have written. Them top 10 were written by God. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. That's his armor bearer, Joshua didn't play, y'all. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Does that sound familiar? Exodus 23:22, if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. As we travel the journey of life, comforts and empowers us to know that our God gives us his loyalty and protection against the spiritual enemies and pitfalls we are sure to encounter. We can do nothing but thank God. Chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 10. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it was paved, work of sacrifice stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. Biblical descriptions of God tend to focus more on the surroundings of God than on the Lord himself, primarily because he is beyond description. But what a wonder that this majestic God calls us his own. And so I am publicly saying, I remember reading that no man has seen the face of God. But in the word in Exodus, it is saying that so some men have seen God. So when we get to that word, I'm going to think about this word, because this word is saying that the elders of Israel did in fact see God and supped with him. But again, I always wonder in my mind if what we're seeing is that they're with Jesus, that they're with the Word who is God in person, but they have not seen God the Spirit. So I don't know. So if there is a biblical scholar out there that would like to call in and give us some insight on that word, please do not hesitate to call 213-943-3597. And as we continue in our word, Exodus 25, 1 through 26, 37. And it said, and then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. With his heart you shall take my offering, and this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, badger skin, acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Let just so you shall make it, and they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be in length. And we are not going to go into chapter 26 because this is giving a description, and I know that we're not going to have enough time. So we will go into Exodus chapter 25 on Sunday. But I do want to go back to Psalms chapter 28, chapter 18. And Psalms chapter 18, verses 46 through 50. And it says, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. He also lifts me up above those who rage against me, who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forevermore. For by means, hold it, excuse me, y'all. And that was the end of chapter 18 of Psalms. Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, knowledge reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet, I'm sorry, y'all, I keep missing my spot. Because the way the word is written, it's a proverb, it's a psalm, and then it's a New Testament. So we're continuing in chapter 19, and that was a proverb I kind of moved into. So we end our psalm with verse 6. And rising is from one end of the heaven, and his circuit is to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from his heat. Because I don't want us to not get to our words for this morning, which is Psalms 19 and 14. And it goes on to say, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And I want to read that again. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, be them, your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his arrows? Cleanse me from secret faults. We all should have that in our arsenal when we are praying. He can understand his arrows. Cleanse me from secret faults. We got to ask God, cleanse us from secret faults. Cleanse us from anything not like you, God. And then as we go to verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. And then this whole chapter 14 is a prayer. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the life lesson for Psalms 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The God who made the universe by his almighty power offers to exercise that same power on our behalf to help us speak and think in a way that honors him. He wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. Our lives. And as we continue in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 through 35, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Are you hearing that? An adulterer destroys their own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased through you, though you give many gifts. So, the other words, don't go after fooling, slipping and dipping where you are not supposed to be, which is in somebody else's house and somebody else. So on Sunday, we will be in Matthew, and we will do Exodus chapter 25 through 26 and 37, which is the building of the tabernacle. So that's where we will be on Sunday. We will start in Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 46. No, we won't. So I'm sorry, y'all. That's not correct. That is not correct. We will be in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, 1 through 26. And we will go forth from there. So I say to you today, keep God first in everything you do, and daily pray and ask God before you open your mouth, before you move that tongue behind your teeth. Pray, pray and pray some more, and speak to God and say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And know that God will help you. God will lead you. God will help you to move forward in whatever it is that you are doing. For you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I can say this without any doubt in my mind. Our Daddy God loves us completely and totally. He loves us completely and totally. We are special to God. And he is special to us. Keep the word of the Lord in your heart. Keep the word of the Lord in your mind. And keep trusting and believing in him, because he trusts and believes in you. Thank you, family. I appreciate you. I love you to pieces. And as always, before we get out of here this morning, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And her word for this morning is simply this. Good morning. God will give you strength for every battle. Oh, Lord, my strength. Come on, y'all. And wisdom for every decision. And peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic Friday, family. And again, remember, let the words of your mouth, as I say, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of your heart, as I say, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in the sight of God. For we say together, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let us keep God first in everything we do. Pray until something happens. Keep pushing, family. Keep praying for your nations. Pray for our planet that allow us to continue to live on it, because the earth will be here even when we're gone. Ask the dinosaur, okay? We got to continue to watch over this beautiful planet that God has given us. Let us not forget that it is a gift and we should take care of it. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and glorious day. And again, biblical scholars, please, you know, help me understand the word this morning about them seeing God when there's other scriptures that said that no man has seen the face of God. So just out there, we all need help. And that is just one of the things that I would definitely like a scholar to call me on if they get an opportunity. So thank you so much. I love you all. Be blessed. It is, as we say, moving forward, it's a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. I, as Sister Carolyn says, in her word this morning, God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic Friday, family, and join me on Sunday as we move forward in the New Testament. Have a great day. It's a wrap.